Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold. Today I'm going to talk about what it means to live a resurrected life in the power of Jesus' resurrection. I'm going to do that today with Pastor Dr. Brent McDougall. And I was thinking about that topic, and I was trying to say to myself, could I answer that question before I bring on Brent? So I wrote down that a resurrection life includes both eternal life with God in the new heavens and the new earth, but it also includes the power and the strength to live a full life right now. And that means obedience to his word and the grace to live it out. So I'm thinking, what does it mean? And if we develop a resurrection mindset, we'll see pain, we'll see suffering, we'll see injustice, and our hearts should just completely break over it. It should motivate us to focus on the restoration and the salvation plan that Jesus gives, which is eternal victory over death. So that is what we're going to discuss today. Brent is a regular guest. I really enjoy having him on. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Brent, so glad to have you back.
Hello, Bill. Great to be with you.
So how was my opening little monologue there?
You nailed it, Bill. In fact, I was just wondering why I'm even on the show today, because you said those words with such wisdom, and I think it really teed up a great conversation about what it means to live, not only as people who believe in the resurrection, but also to share in his resurrection, to have something of his life within us, and as you mentioned, also that compassion, you know, as his spirit lives through us, that we might help other people to know what it means to live lives that can be changed by Jesus.
Well, Brent, when you suggested this topic, it excited me because I don't want Easter or Resurrection Sunday to come and go quickly over a weekend. I still like talking about it, and I think this is a great time to just keep it going. And when you sent me over this topic idea, I thought, well, how would I phrase it? What would I say if there was somebody asked me how to live a resurrected life in the power of Jesus' resurrection? So I love the little exercise I went through to say, how would I answer that? Because I think when it comes to apologetics, evangelism, we all need to be prepared to answer these kinds of questions.
Right. The Bible says we should always be ready to give the reason for our hope, and to be ready to share that in season and out of season. It's not just for one day. Of course, Easter is wonderful. To remember Jesus' resurrection on that day is always a blessing. But at the same time, isn't it true, Bill, that, you know, we see then a lot of people who don't carry through after that, and they don't know what it is to live in the power of Jesus. And you know, I think about what Jesus said to Martha before he raised Lazarus from the grave. Do you remember this episode, Bill, in the book of John, where Jesus says that your brother will rise again? And she says, well, I know one day there'll be a resurrection. And he looks at her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked her, do you believe this? I think it's a critical question for all of us. Do we really believe that those who are in Jesus can truly live, and that he makes all the difference no matter what mountain we may be facing, no matter what obstacle we might have in front of us? He's greater, and he shares that power with us.
Mm-hmm. Brent, I needed to hear that myself, so thank you for landing that plane right on my runway, because, you know, it is so true. We sometimes get so preoccupied with our day-to-day activities, and we sometimes feel depleted and maybe a little stressed out, and yet in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about this incomparably great power for us who believe That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm. So this is the power that we have living in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
That's right. Yes. And it's for a purpose. You know, when Jesus, you know, gave that power, when it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't given only that we might feel powerful, you know, or that we might feel a sense of joy, even in the midst of the most difficult suffering of life. That power was given for the mission, so that we can live the type of holy life and the type of missional life that he came to give us. You know, I'm a fan of The Chosen, and I was recently watching one of the little clips where Jesus was sending out his disciples in his power. He says, I'm going to give you the authority to do this. And one of the disciples says, well, I don't feel anything different. And Jesus said, I don't need you to feel anything. You don't need to feel it to do what I'm asking you to do. So it is more than a feeling. It is, it's a reality to live into that, just as you've helped us to remember, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. And when we can walk around with that kind of knowledge, we're able to overcome so many difficulties and to have that peace that passes all understanding.
Brent, I'm so glad you said that, talking about feelings and making that reference from The Chosen, because I remember distinctly a pastor 30 years ago talking about that faith is a decision-making process based on the Word of God, irregardless of your feelings.
Right. It is a feeling. I mean, it's not to say that, you know, faith in Jesus doesn't have an emotional sense to it. I saw recently a little, speaking of The Chosen, I saw recently a little video montage of all the different ways that people greet Jesus. And the video is about, what kind of hug will you give Jesus when you finally meet him face to face? It's beautiful. It's so moving. And so there is an emotive aspect to our faith. But then, you know, when it comes to doing what he says, he does have this expectation when he says, you know, if you love me, you'll do what I say. It just won't be where you'll just feel it. It won't be where you're just, you know, you'll say that you love me. No, you will do the things that I have commanded you to do. So it is action that defines our love for him.
Mm-hmm. I think, Brent, what I'm trying to say is that I will talk to people that will say, well, I just, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, but there's days where I just don't feel loved, or I just don't feel his presence. And I go, well, that's where I get this, that faith is a decision-making process based on the Word of God, regardless of how you feel. Even if you feel that he doesn't love you, guess what? He does.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
You are believing what you believe.
Yeah. So I wasn't discounting feelings and emotions. I was just trying to say, God's word stands true always, all the time.
Right.
And even if you don't feel something, that doesn't mean it's not true.
That's also an encouragement when you have the opportunity to share a word about Jesus and to share God's love with someone else. And maybe it's not appreciated. Maybe it's not received well. Maybe they don't accept the truth that you're offering, but that doesn't make it any less the truth. It just means they're not ready to hear it. It may be that, you know, God has not done a work in their heart such that they can receive that seed of truth that you're giving to them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that the seed isn't just exactly what it is, the seed of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we remember that his truth is his truth and will always be his truth, then we can do what we do knowing that it's going to be okay, no matter how others might react to that.
When you first came to faith in Christ, I'm speaking to so many listeners right now that were told that God loves you, yet you had a hard time understanding that. It's like, well, how does God love me? But the more you spend time in his word and the more you draw near to him, you start to go, ooh, I get it, because God's word helps you understand God's love.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Well, that's the extent of my wisdom for this hour, Brent. So I'm talking to Pastor Brent McDougall. He is the lead pastor, the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we're talking today about living a resurrected life in the power of Jesus's resurrection. We're not trying to live this life on our own strength. We're trying to live it in the power of the resurrected Jesus. So, Brent, when you think of the resurrected power of Jesus, can you imagine any power greater than that?
I can't.
I can't either.
Because it's the power that is rooted in the very nature and character of God. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than the power of the one who created all things. You know, a lot of people yesterday were staring up at the sky, catching a glimpse of the cosmos and this amazing thing that was happening. For many people, they can't see beyond the natural to the creator that made the creation. And to just to sort of gaze at the wonder of the order that God has set into the cosmos. You know, I was reading about when the next opportunity will be, at least here in East Tennessee, to see an eclipse like that. That'll be 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So they can predict it. They know because there's an order to it. And there's a design that has been set in motion that should give us even more awe than the wonder that we might glimpse in creation.
Mm-hmm. Brent, maybe we could brainstorm a little bit on the marks or the characteristics of a resurrected life. If we were to like assemble a list here, maybe one would be, you know, a faith that's never going to turn back, or just a real love for the people of God. I mean, that's a resurrected life characteristic.
Sure.
An honest denial of self.
Okay, so this is really interesting. So yeah, the marks of a resurrected life, you mentioned a couple of things there. One is that honest assessment of yourself, you know, recognizing who you are as a beloved child of God, but also the humble acceptance of your need for grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are a perfect creature that you don't have to be perfect, you know. You don't have to earn your way to salvation. I think if we're honest with ourselves, most people would say they spend a lot of time trying to please other people, trying to live up to their expectations, and really trying to earn their love. And that's just not the way that it is when it comes to God. We have been given a perfect love in Jesus Christ. And so we try to please him because he has loved us first. And then if we get that first love right, it starts to order every other love that we have so that we're not operating out of a pleasing posture, but instead a divine posture as God's love is flowing through us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that to live a resurrected life is to also live with that faith that is enduring in the midst of life's struggles, to where even when you encounter difficulties, they don't take you under. You know, when David talks about, you know, you looked down, you saw me in the pit, you lifted me up, you set my feet on a rock. This is Psalm 40. He is describing the way that God helps him, even in the middle of life's most awful of circumstances, to experience a victory. And that through his weakness, God's power is being made perfect. So I certainly agree that faith is a really important aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think a resurrected life is gonna mirror Jesus's life. You know, it's going to his life is now going to be flowing through you. You're going to start to think like he does. You're going to love the people that he loves. You're going to live as a kind of missionary because God is a missionary God who sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world. He was sent out of love. So we take on something of that sending type of life as well.
Mm-hmm. Brent, let's continue to talk about some of the characteristics of a resurrected life, because one of the questions I was thinking to myself was, how do I feel about earthly possessions? And if I'm living in a resurrected life, maybe I am not clinging to those the way I once did.
Yes. You know, some of the greatest people of faith that I've studied, from George Mueller to Rees Howells, I've been reading recently the biography of Oswald Chambers and who wrote My Utmost for His Highest. And they all came to a place of dying to possessions. It's as if they became as nothing to them. It's not that they didn't have things or that they knew that there were things that were necessary for just day-to-day life, but those things didn't have a hold on them in the way that many people are clinging to things for security and for comfort. So I do think that is indeed a part of a resurrected life is you start to cling to Jesus and him only. You realize he's all that you have and he's all that you need.
So well said. Pastor Brent McDougall is my guest. We're going to continue talking about living a resurrected life. If you have a question or comment, it is so welcome to text it over 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
Ann texted me and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old and her husband Bob is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Ann has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Anne will hear your story and be encouraged as well.
Resurrection Sunday wasn't that long ago, and the question still lives in my head. How and what is this resurrected life, and how do we live it? How do we live it best? Pastor Brent McDougall is my guest. He is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I really love this conversation as we seek out how to really live a really strong spiritual walk. And Brent, maybe a question we ask ourselves is if we feel frustrated on this path, living our resurrected life, maybe we're not on the right road, so to speak. Maybe we're not making the right choices because we haven't fully surrendered our life to Christ.
I think that's right. You know, it's a common experience for people of faith that we all go through times where we feel not as connected to God. We often can experience the difficulty of circumstances that can even lead us away from God. But I think those are opportunities to have something of a soul kind of check and to realize, you know, I've lost something of that newness of life. I've lost something of the joy that I once had. And that's an opportunity to turn to Jesus and say, God, would you renew that in me?
Mm-hmm. Brent, I'm trying to get to John chapter 5 real quick because I think there's a great line that Jesus delivers. And I think I'll be able to find it here quickly. But he basically says to, well, of course, yeah, the man at the pool, and he says, do you want to get well? Do you want
yes.
to get well?
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
what question? Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to live a resurrected life? Do you want to be on that path? Do you want to be fully surrendered to Christ? Do you want to be all in?
I've been teaching in a small group session some of the greatest questions that Jesus asked. He asked some amazing questions, and we covered that one as a way to look at our own lives and to even be able to name, you know, if Jesus were to ask, you know, what is the thing you want me to do for you? What, you know, without praying a prayer that is selfish or self-centered in a way that takes us away from God's will, but, you know, it's a beautiful question. What do you want? And I think that for many people, Jesus would look at and ask that questions and sometimes people would not know how to answer, or they might feel such a kind of a coldness within their souls that they're not even aware of their need for real life and the need for change.
Yeah, a regular guest of mine will say the most dangerous question in life is, what do you want?
Mm, wow.
Because then, then you'll have to answer it. Then you're going to know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think one of the aspects, as you've kind of touched on this a little bit, another mark of a resurrected life is to have a renewed sense of wonder and of awe just for all that God has done for us. I mean, think of Bill, Jesus on the cross. I mean, what a wonder of him dying for the sins of the world. He is taking it all upon himself, and he still loves. He is still forgiving. And if that truth doesn't cut us to the heart, we really need to take a look at that, because just the sheer wonder of his sacrifice on our behalf is truly amazing. And then if you think about the wonder of him coming back from the grave, to consider him walking out of that grave and defeating sin and death and despair, and to be, as it says in the book of Acts, Jesus was a man who was accredited by God by miracles, signs, and wonders, and the greatest one was him coming back to life. So I believe that should fill people with a sense of awe and reverence, and should give us such joy as we consider all that he's done for us. So I think a resurrected life is going to be lived in with a state of wonder. I mean, the people that I often admire the most who are living lives of faith just around me are those that have a great sense of wonder. They are amazed at what God has done and continues to do.
They're putting themselves in a position where they're anticipating what God is going to do. And they're full of wonder because they're trusting and they're waiting, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
You know,
I
another.
believe that Christians in America need to recapture that wonder. We need to recapture that sense of joy in Christ, and to live out that kind of contagious faith before others.
Pastor Brent McDougall is my guest. Brent, what about the idea of living a life of prayer? If you are really living a resurrected life, you are praying all the time. People ask if I say to you, Brent, how's your prayer life? And if you say, eh, I don't know, I might be concerned. And if you say, well, I'm on a walkie-talkie with God all day long.
God's on speed dial. I got it. Well, I heard one person say it's the difference between practicing your problems versus practicing his presence.
Ooh, I
And a
like
lot of
that.
times what people do through the day is they practice their problems. They're solving their problems, they're moving from one problem to the next, they're focused on what's wrong, instead of practicing the presence of Jesus in the middle of the problem and turning to him for the help that they need in the day of trouble. That's something that I feel like God has been convicting me on ever since the first of the year, this idea of renewing my mind so that I have a mind that is stayed on him. I'm thinking on the things, as Paul said, that are lovely and admirable and excellent, worthy of praise. Because I think our minds, if they're not walking in the mind of Christ, then how are we? What kind of mind are we bringing into the world? And it's probably not going to be his best for us.
Brent, if we're living a resurrected life, would the fruits of the Spirit be a good measuring stick? Love, joy,
Absolutely.
peace, patience, gentleness, kindness. I mean, can we just look and say, am I more loving than I was? Am I more joyful than I used to be? Am I more peaceful than I once was? Do I have more gentleness than I once did? I mean, if we start looking over this and saying, yeah, I think I am. And people say, I see more kindness and patience in you than I've ever seen. That might be a nice little measuring stick of living a resurrected life.
Absolutely. I heard the testimony of a young man recently who came to faith. We baptized him on Easter Sunday. And he said that he's been telling so many other people about his newfound faith. And he said that people have taken notice. They would say, you're different. You're not as prone to anger like you were before. You're not as prone to worry as you were before. Something's different in you.
I love
And
it.
he's used that opportunity to talk about the difference that Jesus has made. One person said, you drank the Kool-Aid. He said, yeah, I like the Kool-Aid. I'm really enjoying the Kool-Aid.
I like it.
I think that I would say, Bill, as because I've preached recently on the fruits of the Spirit. I started the first of the year. I did one each week, and sometimes people approach those in terms of almost like they're virtues that can be cultivated. But I really think we need to underscore that it is the work of the Spirit in us. It is the work of the vine that is now moving through the branch of our lives, and the fruit of the Spirit is what grows when we are connected deeply into the life of God. So as much as we are able to walk by the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to invite the Spirit to be in control of our lives, the fruit will come and people will be amazed around us.
Mm-hmm. Brent, let's talk about being in Christ. Because I've always said you're never going to know who you are until you know who you are in Christ. So if you are walking a resurrected life and you are in Christ, you should have a pretty solid understanding of who you are, that you have Christ's authority over all of the enemy's attacks. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. You know you're loved. You know where you're going. I mean, to me, that is some of the characteristics of living a resurrected life.
That's beautiful. It makes me think of something that I've come to consider as kind of a threshold. You know, Paul would say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I now live in by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That kind of declaration comes from a life that is surrendered to him. And it is more than just saying, God, I'm giving you my life. It is saying, God, I am laying down my life so that you can live through me the life that you would live if you were, you know, in the flesh in me. That's the life that is now going to be lived through me. And so then you say, Christ, live through me. Holy Spirit, pray through me. Be a blessing through me. That's what true life is all about.
Mm-hmm. Brent, I just had this scary thought. If I am living a resurrected life, and this would be a scary question to ask, if I'm living a resurrected life, what values do you observe in me about my character?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of scary. And I go, you seem like a nice person to strangers. I mean, you don't know how they would answer, but be kind of a scary question to ask your friends and close colleagues. And what do you observe in me?
Yes, right. Well, it's a great question to ask. I think it's takes a lot of humility to ask that kind of question. You know, I've asked that on occasion of my wife. You know, what was that like? You know, when I said that, or what's your experience, you know, of me being your husband? Those have been like some very humbling kind of moments, but I feel like that's where we need that true, you know, self-assessment to kind of know where we are. And then I think true repentance is found there too. When you know how much you've hurt somebody, when you know that you have not lived up to the standard that you profess, when you got to get honest about that, and when you realize the impact that has had on others, you'll want to change, and Christ can do a work in your heart.
So good. Dr. Brent McDougall is my guest. We're continuing our discussion on living a resurrected life, and he is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. So if you have a question or comment, love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. We'll continue our discussion in just a minute with Living a Resurrected Life.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Prime time, drive time. Let's get it started. Jump in your car. Yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
It is our heart here at Faith Radio to lead people to Christ and to nurture them in their faith journey through the kind of teaching and talk you hear right on this station every day. We're so glad that we're able to expand the reach of Faith Radio. As of yesterday, we had another station sign on with us in Billings, Montana. You can hear that in Billings at 93.3. And it's really because of your support and your ongoing care for Faith Radio that we're able to say yes when this opportunity presented itself. I think there's about 120,000 people in Billings. So it's like we just opened up a new big church with an amazing staff. And that's everyone that's here on Faith Radio, including my amazing guests like Pastor Brent McDougall, that we are talking today about living a resurrected life. Brent, I've got something else that is kind of a question for you, because one of the things that I heard my pastor say many, many years ago was, if you can answer these two questions, you're probably, you know, walking in step with the Lord. And that is, what was the last thing that you study or read in God's word that the Holy Spirit enlightened you on in a new, fresh way? And when was the last time you shared your faith with another person, face-to-face or on the phone or wherever? And can you remember that person? And can you remember how long ago it was? And if you can answer those two questions, you're probably doing a really nice job of living a resurrected life.
Beautiful. Those are good barometers that talk about, you know, one, the internal work that God is doing in your life, the heart change that's happening in you, you're tender to the things of God and listening to the way that the Spirit is interacting in the Word and planting that Word in you. So there's the internal, but then there's the external. So you are trying to share that with others. It really is both and. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians can fall into one or the other and not see the value in both. The way that we live is from the inside out, and we cannot neglect the way that we can help somebody else know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're a little bit like me, where you get a fresh insight to something in God's word, and there's that wonder that kicks in because you've read it 100 times, and it was the 101st time that the Holy Spirit led you to this slightly different perspective, and you couldn't believe how excited you got about it.
Yes. It's the way that God's word works. You know, it really is alive and active. It is something that can jump off the page. And my experience too, Bill, is that it often comes at just the right time. It's just the right word that I need that will keep me going or will give me some wisdom for a decision. It's something that is such a valuable resource. And that's why I don't understand Christians that aren't in the Word on a regular basis. I'm all the time asking people, hey, are you reading God's Word? Are you listening to God's Word? Because of the difference it's made in my life, I can testify about that, the difference that it's made.
And isn't it the little things that you don't necessarily pay attention to that jumps off the page, where I didn't think that was a detail that would capture my attention the way it did? When you've read something so many times, and then it comes to light in a way that you think, how did I miss this? Because it was almost a non-essential sort of thought, and then all of a sudden it's what I can't stop talking about the last week.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm a little bit.
I was touched by that recently with Psalm 46.
Ooh,
where
please share.
Be still and know that I'm God. And on the one hand, that touched me because I realized my heart was not still, and I was not really in that moment believing that God is God with a circumstance that I've been dealing with. But then the second word was about, then it says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'm going to be exalted. And it was a word of hopefulness and faith, because I can get discouraged by what I see around me with all the struggles that people have and the politics that seem so corrosive. And God's just reminding me that God is still the God of the universe, and his will is going to be done. And so it really, you know, out of that stillness of heart, I was actually feeling just a great sense of joy as I was reminded of that word. And I hadn't really considered that second part before.
Mm-hmm. When we were talking about a resurrected life, one of the things that really got my attention in the last couple of weeks was this passage out of Mark chapter 16, where the women were on their way to the tomb. Mm-hmm. And they were talking to each other. Well, who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance? Man, how's that going to happen? Now,
yeah.
Brent, I don't know. I would be staying on my couch going, I wouldn't mind going to the tomb today, but that stone's there. So what's the point? They're on the way.
Right. Well, you know, shout out to the women, you know.
Right. But I'm just
you
saying.
Know, who,
yeah.
They're still, even they just want to be close to him. They're still serving him.
Yes.
Even in his death. And they are exercising faith. That's one thing that George Mueller talks about. They were still, you know, exercising a kind of faith and still showing up even with heavy, heavy hearts.
Yeah. I also saw it as an obstacle that that wasn't going to stop them. There was an obstacle, but it doesn't matter. We're moving in his direction. We're trying to get closer to him, and the details will take care of themselves. They just figured that it would work out. And I think there are obstacles in our life that we go, well, I don't know how I'm going to get around this, so what's the point?
Right. And we stop before we even get going.
Oh, yeah.
We don't step in faith. I was teaching a small group of a different kind recently, and we were talking about the work of the Spirit and back to that idea of kind of feeling, you know, the presence of the Spirit. And we were talking together about how oftentimes only when we actually move by faith and we step into an experience, that is when the Holy Spirit can show up. That is when we might start to feel more of a sense of change and joy and power. But we really do have to step by faith. You know, I think of like a baseball player. You ever watch a baseball player and when they're up to bat, they're swinging that bat a little bit. They're about to get a hit, or hopefully, but their bat is in motion before the pitch comes.
Right.
That is because it is easier to swing when your bat is already in motion. I think there's a faith principle there that when we step by faith, just as those women were doing, or at least at the very least doing what they could, then the opportunity for seeing a miracle was opened up. Mm. And they saw it when everybody else did not.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Brent McDougall is my guest. We're talking about living a resurrected life. And one of the great keys, I think, to living this resurrected life is to be doing something and not doing something. I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but seeking God and not seeking things of this world. Fearing God, but not fearing man. Loving God, but not loving the things of this world.
I see. Yeah. So are you saying that walking by faith is as much about subtraction as it is about addition?
I'm thinking it's easier to live that way.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm right about that or not, but
I think you are. You know, Jesus taught similar things about, you know, cutting out known sin from our lives. Mm-hmm. He spoke to those impediments that get in the way of faith. He called the rich young ruler to, he named it, sell what you have and give to the poor. That's not everyone's call to give it all away. But for him, that was the thing that was keeping him from the joy that Jesus wanted to give to him. So yes, I think, you know, a mindfulness is to not only pursuing him and all of his wonder and joy, but also the wisdom to know the things that must be removed mm-hmm. in order to be closer to him.
Yeah, I like that. So if I'm worshiping God, maybe what I'm not going to do is think about my comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let me think about that a little bit. We'll go to a break. Dr. Brent McDougall is my guest. We're talking about living a resurrected life. If you have a question or comment, 877-933-2484. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ, or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224. I have really enjoyed everywhere we have gone today on living a resurrected life with Dr. Brent McDougall. Brent is senior pastor in Knoxville, Tennessee at First Baptist. And Brent, this has really been a fun hour. And when we're wanting to do one thing and not another, to me, that's a little helpful device in my head. Because if I want to serve my appetites, I'm maybe not going to obey God.
Mm.
And I can't do that. And I want to believe God and not any lie that comes from the kingdom of darkness. I want nothing to do with that.
It gets back to that idea of decision that we were talking about before. You're choosing one thing instead of another. You're choosing life. You know, the Bible counsels that over and over again. Choose life and choose the best for your life. Many people see the Christian faith as being just a set of rules, or maybe they see another Christian's a kind of life that's not worth imitating. But the true life of following Christ is the best life. He has the best life to give to us. And so he loves it when we choose it, and when we choose good things for ourselves that allow more of his Spirit to flow through us.
Mm-hmm. What would you say the best way to train ourselves to be more godly, live this resurrected life with more confidence? Maybe we've already touched on that in various times throughout the hour, but I wonder if you have in your head a little summary idea.
And well, there's no
worries if you don't.
Right. There's no substitute for being in the Word every day.
Amen.
And also allowing, you know, prayer to bubble up through the reading of the Word. You know, some people try to read the Bible in a year, which is good, or, you know, over a couple of years. But I would say really the discipline of moving through the Bible every single year, every single day, is the most transformative thing that has happened to me in the last 10 years. It has changed my mind. It has helped my marriage get better. It has created a sense of peace in me that I did not have before. So I think that we really need that daily bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So there's no substitute for that. There's also no substitute for being in community. You know, Jesus taught his disciples in groups. He brought them together to show how to practice his way. And Jesus didn't go it alone. And if he didn't go it alone, then why do we do that? You know, we need deep relationships and a deep commitment to other people in the body of Christ. And the third thing I might add, Bill, is just the regular practice of serving other people.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't have a regular routine, an outlet for demonstrating God's love to others. You know, Jesus said, that which you've done for the least of these, you've done it for me. So if you want more of his life, if you want to meet him more, then you're going to be looking into the eyes of those that he loves.
Mm-hmm. Brent, how do I let God take control of my life? I want to be fully in. I want to be fully surrendered. I want to live this resurrected life. Many are thinking, okay, how do I let God take full control of my life?
It starts with a declaration.
Mm.
You say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I recognize there's resistance in me. I recognize that there are many barriers for that to happen. But with as much as I'm able to say this today, God, I want you to be the one who takes the steering wheel of my life. And then, Bill, my experience has been that it requires a daily pursuit, a daily laying down of life, and it does not happen all overnight. You know, you might imagine this kind of moment where all of a sudden he's in charge, but, you know, I think it's in the book of Jeremiah, it says, you know, our hearts are desperately wicked. You know, we all have things within us that are rebellious. And so my experience has been it takes that kind of daily pursuit of him. And over time, he takes control of more and more of my life. There are rooms in my life more and more that he's rearranging and using for his purposes. And it really is a lifelong pursuit. And praise God that he's so patient and so good to us along the journey.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what if you've gone through a period of incredible disruption or distraction in your life, and your quiet time, you're studying scriptures, you're listening to God, you sort of drifted away, and maybe you could encourage someone today as to how to turn back if there's been a period or a time when you've just drifted away.
We all go through times like that. We all go through seasons of discouragement and wondering even if God is there. So one thing that's helped me, Bill, along the journey is one, to talk to other people about that. You know, talk to other Christians, and it could be in our family, or it could be in our churches or among our set of friends, but just say, I don't feel close. And then to ask people to pray that you could be restored to the joy of your salvation. And then I would just say, you know, little by little, you know, I think that, you know, how do you get back to enjoying feasting on the Word of God? And it's not by sitting down to a buffet. You know, you've got to little by little, just morsel by morsel, take in that word. Start small, and then don't get discouraged if, you know, let's say if you miss a day, you know, just keep at it. Just don't give up. And over time, your hunger will start to grow. And then it will not feel like a discipline to pursue. It will feel like a joy to live into. So I would just say, get with other people, practice God's presence through the word and through prayer, little by little, little by little. And that's the way to find your way back to God.
And also, Brent, to focus on eternal priorities and understand this resurrection power is not when you take your last breath, but for today. Today's the day to take full advantage of this resurrection power that we can live out every day.
This is the day we've got. There is no promise for tomorrow. I was talking to a woman this morning, just had such an awful tragedy with her son. He was in the yard playing with one of his kids, and a tree fell on him. Mm-hmm. And he had brain damage, and he was removed from life support this morning. I'm sorry to share such a sad story, but I was talking to this woman in her grief, and she expressed just how that was the reality that she now can see just so clearly. You know, every day is a gift, and today is the day of salvation. And let's turn to the Lord while we have the opportunity, because we just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Brent, we just have a minute left. Would you pray for that dear person and the other people listening that may be in a similar situation of intense grief and pain?
I will. God, I thank you so much for Bill and for his encouragement. God, I thank you for his voice of faith, and the way, Lord, that he touches so many lives. I know that many people listen to him seeking some help, seeking some encouragement, and a way forward. So I pray, Lord, for those who are listening today, who are hurting, those, Lord, who feel an intense loneliness. God, I pray for those who just don't know how to get life back on track. And I pray, Lord, in the power of Jesus's resurrection, I pray in the power of the Holy Spirit that you will touch those lives today, and God, that you will draw them back to yourself as you are lifted up. And God, you are so faithful, Lord. You love your little ones, and you pursue them with a passion like a good shepherd. So will you bring people home today and help them to pray and draw near to you? And I trust that you're doing that even now. In Christ I pray, amen.
Pastor Brent McDougall has been my guest. He enjoys fishing, painting, travel, college football, good coffee, hiking, beaches, and meals with family and friends. So have a wonderful rest of the evening and go enjoy a hobby. And thanks for being on the show, Brent.
Enjoyed it, Bill. Always good to be with you.
Thanks so much. We'll take a short break and be back with Jeff Verdorn. Special topic today. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.